This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Kamala Harris needed one more night to sleep on it, but the big news came this morning. The pick is in. Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, going to be her running mate. Military vet, union supporter, former high school football coach, and yeah, now a governor. Let's get the update live.
CBS News special report. Vice President Harris has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. CBS's Nancy Cordes at the White House.
He's the only person on that list of five or six finalists who had both executive leadership experience and legislative leadership experience.
Walz called out the Republican VP nominee last week.
It's weird. I don't want J.D. Vance talking about my family. I certainly don't want him talking about my daughter or my wife. It's none of his damn business.
Trump's campaign is calling Walz a, quote, liberal extremist. Former Democratic National Committee official Haima Moore.
The Minnesota Democratic Party stands for Democratic Farmers and Labor Party. So Tim Walz has been all around the country. He understands the rural community. When he was a member of Congress, half of his votes of his bills were co-sponsored by Republicans.
Harris and Walz make their first campaign stop together in Battleground, Pennsylvania today. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
7:32, back with Mike and Vicky, a little bit more about the vice president's pick for her vice president if elected. We talked about it with political science professor David Schultz at Hamline University in Minnesota, and he says Governor Walz led a progressive agenda in the state after his latest election.
Got reelected in 2022. At the same time, the Democrats wound up winning both the House and the Senate, the two chambers of our legislature, had what's called the trifecta, and they moved what many people would say is an incredibly progressive agenda. Significant increases in education spending, codified abortion rights, Roe versus Wade, other voting rights legislation, limits on gun usage, pretty much the agenda that many of the progressives would love to be able to see enacted.
And again, the big question, he says, is whether a politician from Minnesota has appeal in the key swing states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Well, here at home, we're going back to Encino because there's been another break-in and people were home at the time. This is in the hills south of Ventura Boulevard. Not sure if they were able to grab anything out of there. John Baird is live at the scene.
Well, this is called a hot prowl. That's when people are home. Those situations, as you know, can be really dangerous for the residents and the suspects. In this case, 3 a.m., the burglars broke a sliding glass door. A family of four inside heard the breaking glass, saw a couple of the burglars, went upstairs, locked the door, called 911. By the time officers rushed out, the suspects were gone. We're not sure if they got anything. A well-known music producer lives here with his family. It's a $5.3 million property. Same MO as the other night, a couple of miles away, when suspects broke into a home off Valley Vista Boulevard through a back sliding glass door, but they were confronted by the owners and took off. People in that neighborhood, again, this is part of Encino, are wary for sure. One woman says there was another incident down the block recently.
I think that, you know, it's one of those things where you think it can't happen to you. And it happened at right on the corner. Another two doors down from our house.
Again, there's been a surge of burglaries in Encino in the last month or 6 weeks or so, and a detective tells me this morning that at least eight of those calls are likely the work of burglary teams. He was the detective who told me recently in his 30 years he's never seen it this bad.
If you live in Encino, other parts of the San Fernando Valley, concerned about the home burglaries, you are encouraged to go to a National Night Out event. It's National Night Out all over Southern California. And there's one in Reseda, and that will feature the Encino Neighborhood Council. That's at Randall Simmons Park, and that's going to be from 6 to 10 tonight. There's another one in Sherman Oaks at the Farmers Market. LAPD from the Van Nuys Division will be there. That's from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
The LAPD trying to crack down on the copper wire thefts, and as a task force could get extra funding, $200,000, LA City Council going to consider a motion to reallocate that money from redevelopment projects into this task force. Last month, the heavy metal task force operation got 82 arrests, 2,000 pounds of stolen copper wire was recovered. They've been taking it from streetlights and big spots, too, like the 6th Street Bridge. It's gone dark a couple of times. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. Back to Rancho Palos Verdes. Got even worse last night for some of these people. Power was shut off. Edison had to do some work because of all the land movement. It's been a week, right, since 130 homes saw the gas cut. A couple meetings tonight on all this. The mayor of Rancho Palos Verdes is back with us, Mayor John Cruikshank.
Mayor, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
It's been over a week now that homeowners there, more than 130 of them, have had their gas cut. And overnight, a few dozen of them had their power cut. How is life there for those homeowners in Rancho Palos Verdes?
Well, like you mentioned, last week, 135 homes had their gas shut off. And of course, they all had to scramble to try to find alternate methods to heat water and their food. And so actually today is the first of two resource centers that we're going to be opening up in our city to give them alternate methods in which to heat their water and to find alternate methods. So we're opening that up today. The power that you mentioned, there was a power outage, but it was a planned power outage for maintenance. They've got to continue to adjust the power lines and to minimize disruption. But power has been restored as of 6 o'clock this morning.
How worried are you that there's going to be an extended outage because Edison's going to have to pull the plug on something? Because you've told us, and they've been talking, saying, you know, there's days where we go in there and we put more slack in the lines, and then we have to go back 3 days later because of the land. It's moving, and we're worried it's going to start sparking something.
Well, extremely worried about that. And, you know, we were told that in that area, most of the homes are just on one electric circuit. So we're working with Edison to have them break the circuits up so that if there is a disruption in one area, it doesn't affect all the homes in that area. And so we're extremely worried about that. And we're working with Edison to accelerate that timeline.
It seems like the cost of repairs for homeowners could maybe just push some to sell and would force drive down the value of their property. It's a terrible situation. I know the State Department of Insurance is going to be at one of these meetings today. Will insurance policies even cover what these homeowners are going through?
Well, I actually don't believe that the insurance companies will cover landslide movement. And the city is extremely worried about home values and, more importantly, people's safety. Like you mentioned, Vicki, that there will be a number of L.A. County offices there, and the State Department of Insurance will be at our resource center there today. It'll be from 2 to 8 o'clock at the Ladera Linda Community Center. And we are worried about that. The city's going to do everything they can to keep people in their homes safely.
You guys are thinking of declaring, what, a local emergency, too, at the city council meeting to try and get some payments to some of these people on, like, an individual type of basis?
Well, that's exactly right. So at tonight's city council meeting, we're going to actually consider declaring a new local emergency in lieu of the gas shutoffs that had occurred that we talked about earlier. These people were blindsided by that loss of gas service. And by declaring this new local emergency, we're going to see if that can get us some federal funding for those individual homeowners.
All right, Rancho Palos Verdes Mayor John Cruikshank there. Thanks for talking to us again.
Coming up on KNX News, 97.1 FM, fire crews gaining the upper hand on a brush fire that destroyed five homes in the Inland Empire. That and more. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Well, they were up in the air and on the ground this morning in the hills off of Mulholland, about a mile south of the Encino Reservoir. Burned for a while, heavy brush, this one difficult to reach. So, yeah, they had to use those helicopters early in the morning. Luckily, no wind, so it was going slow. A couple of hours for them to knock it down around 5 this morning. But the crews out there still for the mop-up and putting down any hot spots.
Fresh crews are out there this morning in San Bernardino to contain this fire that destroyed at least five homes and some cars. They called it the Edge Hill Fire. Pete Demetrio was out talking to a county fire battalion chief about how they use the weather overnight to build containment lines.
If you get 70s, 25-35% humidity, is that about ideal firefighting weather?
I would say we'll take advantage of that, definitely.
After 10 o'clock in the morning, you've got all kinds of problems.
It's looking like it's going to be pretty warm.
Temperatures, yeah, it could get up to 107 degrees out there today. At last word, the fire had burned about 100 acres, 75% contained.
July was the hottest month ever on record for the state. Data shows an average statewide temperature for California, 81.5 degrees last month. Breaks the old one, 79.8 from 2021. Hot and dry, extremely active fire weather conditions. Park fire still burning up in Northern California, the fourth largest wildfire on the list.
Tropical Storm Debbie has moved into some of the most historic southern cities in what's expected to be a prolonged event. Torrential downpours and flooding after slamming into Florida with heavy rain and winds. CBS News correspondent Christian Benavides has more on the situation in Savannah, Georgia.
As Tropical Storm Debbie neared Georgia Monday, it unleashed torrential rain and strong winds.
It's a lot of water.
While people in Florida started cleaning up following Debbie's landfall as a Category 1 hurricane. Crews worked to restore power and clear debris after flash flooding washed boats ashore in some areas and prompted water rescues in others. Parts of the state were hit with up to 6 feet of storm surge.
Yeah, it's rough. Savannah's mayor told people to be ready for another rough day.
Hearing today by the NTSB into the Alaska flights bound for Ontario lost the door panel last January.
The focus here will be hearing from and questioning officials from Boeing, Spirit AeroSystems, that makes the fuselage of the 737 and is one of Boeing's largest suppliers, as well as the FAA. It's a two-day marathon hearing. 20 hours of testimony spread across 2 days.
CBS senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve, one member of the NTSB, says, I want to fill in the gaps of what's known about this to put people on the record about it.
How will Monday's ruling that Google violated U.S. antitrust law in order to rule the world of online searching affect that tech giant? Here's Mary Hughes.
This decision is a major win for the Justice Department, who brought on this antitrust lawsuit. But what does it mean for Google going forward?
It makes them very vulnerable to additional private antitrust lawsuits.
Shane Greenstein is a professor of business administration at Harvard Business School. He says the continued fallout from this ruling, especially if Google appeals and loses, could also bring an end to Google being the default search engine on many devices.
Something like 90%+ of devices out there are under a contract with Google to make them an exclusive default. And that's almost certainly going to go away.
According to Greenstein, if that comes to pass, other search engine firms could finally have a shot at the big time. I'm Mary Hughes, KNX News 97.1 FM.
We got an AI lawsuit and Elon Musk's involved.
It's the second lawsuit Elon Musk has filed against OpenAI and two founders, Sam Altman and Greg Brockman. Musk claims his legal action is over a betrayal of the ChatGPT maker's founding aims of benefiting the public good rather than pursuing profits. The lawsuit, filed in a Northern California federal court, called Musk's case a textbook tale of altruism versus greed. The first time Musk filed suit, the company released emails from Musk showing his earlier support for making it a for-profit company. A spokesperson for OpenAI says Elon's prior emails continue to speak for themselves. The first suit was withdrawn. Musk bankrolled OpenAI and was co-chair of the board, but left in 2018. The Tesla founder said it was because he wanted to avoid a conflict of interest as he began his own AI research for building self-driving technology. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Pentagon is blaming Iran-aligned militia groups for a rocket attack that injured at least 5 Americans at an airbase in Iraq. At least 2 rockets were fired, one of them landing on the base. One of the Americans said to have been seriously hurt. The Defense Department has called the attack a dangerous escalation.
20 minutes of nonstop news, still getting fallout from the big software meltdown. If your bags are lost, they probably owe you something that you don't know that they owe you. And then another Boeing hearing today. Live now with KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Peter. Good morning.
And good morning.
Let's start with this NTSB hearing quickly. 2-day marathon hearing looking into the Alaska Airlines jet that was bound for Ontario Airport here in Southern California. The door panel came off. Boeing execs will be called on to explain in greater detail what led up to the problem. But in the end, I always want to know, you know, we talk about these hearings. What do we expect to get out of this?
Well, what the NTSB always does is they search for the probable cause and then they make recommendations. Now, they're making recommendations to the very agency that should have been responsible in the first place, otherwise known as the FAA. And the FAA doesn't have to take those recommendations. In fact, every year, the NTSB publishes their 10 most wanted list of all the recommendations they've made that the FAA has ignored. But hopefully in this situation, the clues are obvious. The missing bolts on the door panel, of course, it leads to installation issues, manufacturing issues, and most importantly, inspection issues. Who was inspecting the work? And that, I think, is going to be the biggest issue that's going to be raised in these hearings.
You know, I was thinking about this, and when you travel all over the world, and there's somebody in the seat next to you, and they start talking to you because they recognize you, they've seen the show, and then they go, really, Peter? Like, the guy who was the bolt screwer inner didn't do his job, and then where was the guy whose job it is to inspect what the bolt screwer inner is doing? Like, at the end of the day, come on, that seems like a huge miss.
Well, it's even a bigger mess when you realize that Boeing was allowed to inspect their own work. That's the biggest conflict of interest you could ever imagine. And hopefully there'll be regulations in place from the FAA to make sure that that never happens again.
Well, we had the computer meltdown, and now we have Tropical Storm Debbie. Travelers are having a tough time hanging on to their baggage and getting it where it needs to be. So if you lose your baggage, what recourse do you have?
Well, you have a number of different possibilities. First of all, do you lose it for 8 hours or 8 days? If it's more than 24 hours, the airline is responsible to making sure that you have clothing, basic toiletry items, somewhere to stay, somewhere to eat, especially if it's in an intermediate part of your trip and you're midway home or midway there. That's number one. Number two, the precedent was actually set by Southwest Airlines when they had their big meltdown in December of 22. They'll even pay, in many cases, for your babysitting services if you got stuck in the middle part. But for baggage alone, there's another recourse that most people don't even know they have. There are a number of credit cards out there that you have in your wallet or may have in your wallet that will cover you if your plane is delayed or if your baggage is lost, with a cash stipend that will go directly to you from the credit card company. You just have to file it.
Really quickly, you know, you mentioned Southwest, and they got through the latest meltdown with the computer because their software was so old they hadn't updated it. When are they going to update that software?
Well, they're in the process of doing it now, but it's not just about the updating of the software, no matter what software program you have. It's the backup system, and that's what got airlines like Delta in so much trouble. It's not just the primary system you have. If you don't have a backup system, then you don't have a system. And that's what they're going to have to focus on in every airline going forward.
KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg on an island in Greece. We'll see you soon. We're-